time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What is happening here is these names are being lifted up. And again, these names that we see here, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and of the prophets, these men were lifted up. Say, hey, listen, look at what they had accomplished. Look at these things. Now, up to this point, we had piecemealed them all out. But we had sat there and we had singled out individuals, and there was a great amount said of them. But this group together did something I dare say many a Baptist today struggles to do. And that is to have a faith so strong it affects the world around them. Did you know that that is possible? That your faith could leave a positive impact on this earth. See, so often we do what? We get caught up in the gossip of things. We get caught up in the doom and gloom of things. And what we fail to realize is that your faith is not just for you. Absolutely, your faith has benefits to you. It keeps you strong. It keeps your nose clean. It helps you to serve God. It brings you peace and joy and comfort at night. Your faith can do a lot of things for you, but you ought not be selfish with your faith. Your obedience to God ought to be so strong and so focused that it has a positive effect on those around you. And it is very simple. You don't have to try. Many of the things in Scripture that we talk about, you've got to go out and try to do. You don't have to try to affect the world with your faith. You just have to have a strong faith, and that'll take care of itself. How many times have you heard stories, testimonies of those that have moved on and passed on up to glory? Hey, they did this. They always did this. And we listen to that, we take courage from that. We take encouragement from that. Makes us smile. And as Brother Dennis said this morning, it inspires us, right? To want to do better. That is your faith. Your following after God. Your following any instruction that's His. And that having an immediate effect and a prolonged effect on those around us. As I'm going through some of those tapes and I'm listening to them, those preachers preach, some of them, I'm in the 1970s with some of these tapes. For those of you that don't know, that's before I was born. These men did not know me. They had no understanding that someone like me would ever come. They got up under the obedience of the Lord and preached a message. Right? I'm listening to some of Brother Titus's, and I'm listening to them. He didn't know I'd be a church member one day, but he's out there cleaning my clock. I'm telling you. Listen to those sermons going, hey, he didn't know I would need that today. But I had it. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. What was it? Was he trying to reach me? He didn't know I existed. He was under the obedience of the Lord. Hey, go preach this message. The Lord troubled his heart for this message. He got up behind the pulpit, and I dare say the way some of those messages were, many of the different men I've listened to, those messages were guaranteed to be ringing the bell of some of those people that stood in that pulpit, but they're still ringing bells today. That is your faith having an effect generationally. Where before I was born, words were spoken, the word of God was brought forth and expounded upon, and it still has an effect. Does your faith have a continuing effect? Or is it just something that keeps you comfortable? Is it just something that, it's like a pet project of yours? Anybody here, you got a pet project, ain't moved in a while? That pet's dead. Get it out. Right? Some of us, we've got that. Oh man, one day I'm going to get this cleaned up. One day I'm going to get this pet clean. I'm going to get this taken care of. Oh, it'll be all good. Your faith better not be a pet project. It better be the most important thing you do. You work on it day and night, making sure your faith is strong. What kinds of things are called out that these folks did? Well, their faith. In order for faith to have an outward effect, faith has to have three qualities to it. Number one, that faith has to have an offense to it. Right? In any game or any battle, there's the offense and there's the defense. You gotta have the offense. Not just being offensive, that'll handle itself, but you gotta have some offense. You got to be going out there, having an effect, doing something to the things around you. Let's take a look at what was said here, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now you look at some of these men that were listed. You look at some of these people that were listed. They went out, they fought battles. Barak and Jephthah, of course we see Daniel in there who didn't fight anything, but his effect was on a whole kingdom, was it not? He didn't have to pick up a sword or a knife or anything along those lines. He just had to be faithful to God. And I'll tell you what, that king always had an ear for him, up until a couple of those guys. Nebuchadnezzar always had an ear for him. Why? His faithfulness. See, when we put on, and we talked about this a little bit this morning, when we put on a fake Christianity, when we put on the mask of Christianity, you could tell, right? You ever see somebody in a mask today? You ever been confused by a mask? Probably not, right? Some kid knocks on your door October 31st, you know that's not Batman, right? Right, we used to have fun. I won't tell you all what we did, but some of my buddies, we had a George Bush Jr. mask we would wear from time to time just to goof on some of the teachers. You know what? Nobody ever actually confused me for the president. Nobody ever bought me a meal. No assassination attempts were ever made. I kind of broke even on it, right? Nothing. Right? Why? Because you could tell through a mask, can't you? It sounds a certain way. It looks a certain way. Certain parts of that thing don't move the way that it's supposed to, right? In Christianity, it is the same. If your faith is fake, there'll be parts that move when you talk, or parts that should move when you talk that don't. Well, you're saying that, but how come you don't do this? See, you believe that, but shouldn't that also equate to this? When someone has a genuine faith, a well-exercised faith, you could tell. If I told you that I got up and I rode my bicycle 20 miles every day, you'd look over at me and say, "Brother, something don't look right with that statement." Many of us, that's what fake Christianity looks like. You're making statements, but there's the body that's not showing the action. We're not quite seeing that in all the aspects, right? You're saying it, but there's not a lot of proof of it. When you have genuine article faith, it will subdue the problems around you. It will. Now, I'm not talking about a majestic or magical thing. I'm telling you this. A lot of the people that stand to fight up against you won't bother with you because they know they're fighting a genuine faith. They won't mess with you. Oh, they may have some awful stuff to say to you. They may have some awful stuff to say about you behind your back. But they won't be able to stand in front of you and have a good debate. Remember what I told you this morning? You know how I like to have debates with people? Open Bible. And you know what? I don't get a lot of people who disagree with me who want to go toe-to-toe with me. You want to know why? Because they can't operate here. Can you? When you stand on this book, you're not going to find a lot of people wanting to come up on here to fight. You'll subdue a lot of problems. You live by a real faith. There won't be too many enemies. Oh, sure there will be. But I'll tell you this, faith, it has an effect on others. It'll quiet the enemy, and it'll strengthen the ally. Quiet the enemy, strengthen the ally. We had somebody in our school, went to our church, did a really good job of inviting people to church. When it came time to stand up for a matter, they always stood up for that matter. And you know what that did for the rest of us? It was encouraging. Well, if they're standing up, I'll stand up. And I'll tell you this, there were many that claimed to be Christians that while some stood up against certain things, others stepped back and said, oh, hey, I tell you what, sin for a season, that's perfectly all right by me. But for those that were allies, those who would stand up and fight the fight of faith, they were encouraged. See, most folks, they won't be able to have a good conversation or a good battle with you if you have good faith and you know the scriptures. But you will be able to encourage the people of God. You understand? We have a responsibility in our faith. See, it has an effect on others. We see that it was not just about subduing kingdoms that was mentioned here, but it says here, rotting righteousness. Righteousness. Not self-righteousness, not what I want to see, not what I'm comfortable with, not the way I'd like it to be so I don't have to be uncomfortable, but real righteousness. According to God, this is wrong. So I'm going to step up and I'm going to make it right. So I'm going to step up, I'm going to make it right. Somebody comes to your door with some tale-bearing and some gossip, you make it right. Let's go talk to that person. Somebody comes up to you and they've got some issues and they've got some problems. You take some scripture, you give that to them. Hey, listen, thus saith the Lord. You're going to do this, 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 and that according to what the Bible tells you to do. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be all right. Let's pray together. I'm here for you. Let's make the wrong things right. How many times have sermons been preached and pulpits been beaten? Hey, thus saith the Lord. And some soul sat in the pew and they said, you know what? I do need to make that difference. I do need to make that change in my life. And they just sat there. And they did nothing about it when they went home. And they did nothing about it as they came back to church on Sunday night. And they did nothing about it for the weeks after. Because there was no desire to take something that is wrong and make it right. You know what our big problem with righteousness is? We want everything to be good, but we don't want to give up the bad to achieve it. Am I right? We don't want to give up the sin for a season. We don't want to give up the things that are causing the problem. We just wish that we didn't have to deal with the problem it caused. Guess what? You got to cut out the infection if you want the wound to heal. That's what you got to do. And there is no leaving sin in. In your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your work, in anything you do, you cannot leave wrong if you are a person of faith. As long as it is within your power, you must be the one whose faith is out there fighting for the right thing to be done and to correct the things that are wrong. So we see they're out there, they're doing what? They're living righteously. They're ringing in righteousness. If there's something that must be done, it is you who demands that it be done right. And I'll tell you what, every now and then you're going to be called picky. Every now and then you're going to have issues with things. I remember a problem, I probably shouldn't talk about this, but don't tell anybody. I had a problem down at Flat Rock. The Huguenots, they like to have all the silverware as they would put them in the tub facing the same way. So when you came by, all the forks, all the spoons, all the knives, so that you didn't have somebody in there reaching in, grabbing the part you put into your mouth while you're trying to grab the handle of something else. Makes sense, don't it? That's particular. No, that's sanitary. What's wrong with... No, that was my response. But you know what he said? He said this. He pulled up that verse. The Bible says, decent and in order. All right. That's a small, piddly little thing. But you know what I'm talking about in the bigger things. There's something's not right. We got to make it right. And if I'm going to do something and I'm going to be a part of something, I'm going to make sure that it is done righteously. Not just correct by my standards, but righteously. Right? Bringing it back to the Lord. The first center and last part, the Alpha and Omega of everything that must be done is the Lord. I'm going to behave in righteousness. I'm going to bring righteousness into every situation I'm in. If there is no want for righteousness in that situation, if there is no desire for it, if it is repelled away, you better believe I will not be a part of it. At least that should be our testimony. I'm not going to play with it. If I can't bring righteousness into it, if it's not welcome, I won't be a part of it. So we see there that bringing in of righteousness or that doing of righteousness. They obtained promises. Did you know that God makes two kinds of promises? The first promise is an unconditional promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is an unconditional promise. No matter what you do, God will keep his promise. He promised you an eternity in heaven. So for those that are saved, that is unconditional. If you're saved, there it is. We're not one of those free will Baptists that believe you can just lose your salvation, right? A promise is a promise. Then there were some conditions that he gave the Old Testament folks. Hey, if you do this, I will do that. And we see some of those in the New Testament as well. If you do this, I will do that. You know what these kind of guys were? These were the kind of guys that says, all right, Lord, if that's your promise, I'm going to go claim that promise. I'm going to go collect that. If that's what you say, I'm going to go ahead and take care of that. When we say obtained promises, they were given those promises, but they redeemed those promises. You ever hear you get those receipts, maybe at the grocery store? What's on the back of those receipts nowadays? Coupons. Anybody here, Kroger's not sending out the paper coupons anymore. You got to download the app, right? Now, it's not just Kroger. It's a lot of grocery stores. And I understand why. You go through the parking lot. There's just thousands of them all over the place. I'd stop printing them too. But as frustrating as it is, but what do you do with a coupon? You sit there, you say, all right, well, I was buying dish detergent this week. And there's a dollar off. All right, I'll take that to the grocery store. You bring that in. Beep. Isn't it miserable when you leave the coupon at home? Don't you just feel foolish? You're just sitting there, and of course the cashier just wants you to move on. And you're sitting there going, no, I know I had it. Hold on, it was a whole dollar off. And then you end up paying full price. Feel even more foolish. If God's making promises to you and all you got to do is obey to get those claimed, how foolish are we when we leave those sitting at home? How foolish are we when we leave the promises of God in the book and don't do anything about them? I was working a cashier at the PetSmart one time, and this lady comes in, and she had a trapper keeper filled with coupons. You ever see those? Those people are magic. They know every single last one they have. They'll sit there, they'll ring up a $200 bill, walk out, and I had to give them 50 cents. Yes, remarkable. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. Lord, you're making promises. I want to redeem them. I want to obtain them. I want to get to that point. Hey, Lord, if you say at this point, I will receive this crown. Hey, Lord, I'm for it. Hey, Lord, if you said, if I do this, you'll reward me like that. I'm after it. That ought to be who we are. That's who they were. Lord, you told me to fight this battle. You'll give me the victory. All right, let's go sharpen my sword. What's that? You told me to lay this aside. You better believe I'm laying that aside. Absolutely. I'll drown that thing. Let's go. We ought to be about those promises. taking him seriously. And not just taking him seriously, but fulfilling every word he offers. We see here also that faith, it stops the enemy. For Daniel, it's in the form of the mouths of lions. We fight lions today, don't we? We've got different kinds of enemies. I told you this morning about that preacher said that there's a beast inside of all of us. There's a lion inside of all of us. You know what your faith will do? The more you practice godliness, the more you practice obedience, you know what your faith will do? It'll close its hand around that lion. Shut the mouth of your sin nature. That temptation will be less and less the stronger your faith becomes. Well, I struggle with temptation. Build your faith. All right? Build your faith. And that little voice inside, that old nature we talked about this morning, will get shut up. It can't hurt you. What other lions? There's a lot of little lions around us nowadays. Can't say that anymore. Can't believe this anymore. That's narrow-minded. That's bigoted. That's this. That's that. You have faith. And those mouths can't touch you. Oh, you'll hear them. You know, you'll hear them. You'll be able to see them. You'll sense the danger of it. But I'll promise you this. Lord won't let them do anything to you. Even if they persecute you unto death, the Lord controls every step. We've got to have faith. And of course, we know what other lion we've got to be worried about. He's the one who walks to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Shut his mouth too. Keep those teeth right on the right side of that nose. Make sure nothing can happen to you. All right, now we're not talking again about circumstances and pain, but I tell you what, that devil won't get you if you have faith. He won't be able to get you if you have faith. Again, God in control of everything. We need to have faith in him. I'm not going to be interested in the temptations of the lion if I understand the sweetness of the commands of God. And if I love the sweetness, the commands of God. Moving on to the next verse here, we saw the faith of offense. We also know, I mean, it only serves to fit the faith that is on defense. It says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. We see here that phrase, they put out fires. And I can't help but think of the Turner phrase that we use for little problems. Little problems all over the place, isn't there? You know, we're sitting there as I was working on something with the surveillance camera. You know, Brother Dennis brought up, hey, this computer back here is going nice and slow. All right. You know, and of course, you know what I say. Love technology. Get irritated so much faster now. You know. But no, I just, little things. Little tiny things. This whole last week has been one little fire after the other. No, we can't use this cemetery. No, now we don't have time for the church. We got to figure this out. We got to figure that out. Putting out little fires. Right? Hey, I've got this temptation in the morning. I've got this going on over here. Hey, we're supposed to be doing this at church, but this is going on. You know, we had that happen recently. We had to move the business meeting over because I preached too long. We had to move it on over again because folks were getting sick. We put it right dab smack where we were going to do our cake and ice cream. We're doing cake and ice cream tonight, by the way. Had to move that on over. Little fires. In their case, they were literal hot fires. And after this time, as we go into the church age, we would see God's people facing literal fires again. For us in our faith, it'll quench those fires. It'll put them out. See, it's something when you see the Catholic Church take a notation down about having burned a Baptist at the stake and the Baptists singing hymns as they go up in flames. Makes you wonder. Makes you wonder what they thought. Faith. Well, now wait a minute. Those flames consumed them. Do you hear the part where they were singing hymns? It was one preacher. He sat there and he told him, he said, listen, I'm going to clap. You listen, I'm going to clap. And they're up there and the fire's starting to overtake them. And he clapped. Not just like, hey, I'm going to. No, he went out clapping. See, the Lord does something different for us in our trials and our tribulations. Does he not promise to give you strength? Does he not promise to give you patience and endurance? Does he not promise these things? Well, you better believe for some of us, when we face real fire, those things will be there. But your faith must be strong. And what an effect it has on others. You know, I've heard that testimony up here during devotions. Why doesn't this bother you? Why doesn't this get under your skin? Because I trust in the Lord. Because I'm waiting for him to answer. I love being able to look over at people. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Isn't this going to be bad? Just kind of looking over and say, hey, listen, my Lord's never failed me. There will be an answer. And I've had people come back up to me and say, well, it didn't work out the way you thought it would. I go, it seldom does. But it works out just the way that it needed. Doesn't matter what the situation is or the problem is. You know how many times we as God's people have gone from problem, sometimes problem with no apparent solution, and then days later we're looking back going, whoo, that worked out perfectly. It was a little crazy there, but it went well. That's the Lord helping you. There's been some things that I've experienced in my life. There was no physical explanation for what took place were it not for God. Even this last week, I found a family member's phone number on the back page of a file. Somebody who I needed to get a hold of a cemetery. Just scribbled a little note that somebody made because they needed to cut the guy a check for a burial. It was one of those blink and you miss it moments, right? Nope. That lady wrote that down on that piece of paper, on that file, because the Lord knew I'd be looking for it one day. And I don't care how crazy that sounds. I firmly believe it. That's how the Lord does things. You know, we think about Brother Hilly. Oh, what a terrible thing to have to face. I'm going to show some of you the pictures of the smiles on this man's face. Did it go the way he wanted it to? I don't know anybody who wants to lose an arm. But when he's sitting there, his whole life spared. Healing where it shouldn't have taken place. Strength where it shouldn't be. God don't fail us. See, in this world of the land of the dying and of the devastation and of the troubles and trials and tribulation, when a man can walk away from a problem like that and know that he'll be back in this pulpit, Lord willing, very soon, I can't think of anybody else to thank but the Lord. When even the doctors are sitting there going, we know. Yeah, you got about a year left, 4 years later. Tell me God fails his people. And I'll tell you this, if I drop dead tonight, if whatever happens, devastation comes my way tonight, well, let me tell you where I'll wake up. Let me tell you where I'll be. We serve a God who does not fail us. What fear could we have of the fire, of the flame? There is nothing that can happen to us here that would so devastate us beyond God's ability to bless. So don't worry about those fires. Your faith will help you prevent some, and it'll help you fight the rest. Help you prevent some, help you to fight the rest. Because I'll tell you what, I still believe that we can start our own fires. I do. I've known many a person who's dealing for the rest of their life with a decision they made when they were young. A fire they started a long time ago. Well, those are avoidable. But even if you've got one and it should have been avoided, with faith you can still fight that fire, put those things out. And we need to be a help to each other in their moments of fire. We see here also in this passage of Scripture, escaped the edge of the sword. escape the edge of the sword. I tell you what, there's moments where we're in battle and there are things that are leveled at us and we can dodge away from them and we can get by them. Why? Because God blesses and because we are acting faithfully. When our relationship with God and our faith to Him is pure and strong, there's a lot of things that people will bring our way and they want to take us out, but they can't. We think of Barak in the story with his uncertainty. He goes to Deborah, "I'll only go if you'll come with me." All right, but you won't get the glory, right? He was weak. He was uncertain. We can dodge these blows. Think of how often David himself escaped the hand of Saul because he was faithful to God. I mean, he had Saul dead to rights a couple times, both in the same opportunity where David could have killed Saul in his sleep. But because of his faithfulness to the Lord, he didn't do it. Who got the victory in the end? The Lord did, and He gave it to David. You know what David did? Gave it back to the Lord where it belongs. David got to experience the victory. Why? Because of his faith. Because of his faith. Now let's look back at this Barak guy as we continue to read through verse 34. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Out of weakness, we're made strong. And I'll tell you what, that's another thing I've experienced a lot lately, where I sat there and I said, I don't know what to do. I don't have the ability to fix this. You know who came along and just did stuff? Things just showed up. When my strength was at its weakest, that's when God's was shown most magnificently. And that'll happen in every stage of your life. The moments where you are weak and things happen anyway, that is God doing things. Hey, I don't know if this is possible. Well, let's try it anyway. God commanded us to do it. Let's try anyway. And God provides the victory. Well, I tell you what, in our weakest moments, He sure is strong, isn't He? Wonderful. You know, if me and if Dennis and I were to go and we were to go pick up a, let's say we go pick up a table. You sit there and say, all right, I can kind of guess at how heavy that table is, right? But if me and Gideon go pick up that table, you'd sit there and whose strength would you see? You probably wouldn't see Gideon's. You'd see mine, right? Okay, all right, well, he's carrying most of that table by himself. Yeah? When I'm serving the Lord, and I'm doing things for Him, and great things seem to be happening, you know what you ought to be able to see? That it's God doing most of the lifting. That it's God doing the things. That's what it is. Well, why was that church able to do this? Why was that brother able to lead in that? Why did that happen? Because of the strength of God. Because you look at the man's kind of weak. You look at the person, they don't have a lot of resources. They don't have very strong mentality. So how did they even pull that off? The Lord. And He'll do that for each and every one of His children. He will be your strength in a time of weakness. And believe you me, it'll become apparent. What about Samson? Samson had lost all of his strength. Lost all of it. But in that moment, who was his strength? Lord, please return to me my strength. Gave it to him. Who was his strength? The Lord. Jephthah, as we see there, he was fighting against Ammon. He wasn't supposed to win that battle. By sheer numbers and statistics alone, he should not have won that battle. Who gave him the victory in that battle? God did. We go through everybody on this list and we will see God providing the victory. God providing the strength. And as we continue on in our reading, it says here, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I used to have a training boss who would come to me and say, Matt, if you don't... She didn't say misrepresent the numbers, but that's pretty much what she was asking me to do. You know, I had this thing where people would call, hey, how much is this apartment? And I would give you the full price of what you'd pay every month. And my philosophy was, if you didn't want to pay that amount, you'd hang up the phone. And guess what they did? They hung up the phone. Guess how much time was wasted on them? None. Guess how much my time was wasted? Zero. But apparently that's not good. You got to talk to them for 15, 20 minutes. So Matt, what you got to do is you got to tell them the price without water, sewage, and trash and all these extra fees. And it'd be about $100 less every time. I go, so then when do I tell them the truth? Well, in the end, when they come in and they look at it and they see everything added together, that's when they'll see the final number. So I go, so after 3 or 4 days of work on somebody, I give them the honest truth. No, I wasn't doing that. And I had that boss, she'd come up, Matt, you got, I go, that's, you're asking me to deceive people and I won't do it. My God won't let me do it. Matt, you won't go far in this business if you don't do this. Top 5 seller almost every week. I had a few rough weeks here there because we were kind of selling garbage, but you know, I blame the most of the time. And you know what I'd like to do? Everybody got copied on the list of who, what the sales percentages was. I know her as a trainer was getting those. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to forward those on over to her anyway. And have a look at that. I took 10 tours, 9 of them rented with the truth. And then you'd sit there and you'd see some of the people that would argue during those little training sessions. Matt, I don't know why you give them such a hard time. You know, things go a whole lot better if you just go along with it. No, I'm going to tell the truth. Trust me. And then guess what would happen? Later on, those people would come back to me. How are you doing this? I honor God and He blesses me. That's how it goes. Right? That's how it goes. Doesn't matter what the situation is. I honor God. And in my obedience to Him, I receive the blessings. A lot of those blessings being not getting in trouble for deceitful things. I sat there one time, I saw a coworker just get hollered at by a prospect that came in. You said it'd be this much and now you're saying this. Stormed out the door, slammed the door on the way out. I didn't say anything because it was a bad moment. I don't like to be that guy, but I just kind of in my head go, whew. Tell a little bit of the truth. Show a little bit of respect. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Treat your neighbor as you treat yourself. Love God before anything else. It's a good philosophy. Good philosophy. Great philosophy. Right? Lord will bless it. And you know what that does? That runs off the trouble. Man, she didn't like me. She promised me she'd get me fired. I was there for about a year after she was asked to leave. Run off trouble. It'll run off trouble in a lot of areas, your faith. And that's what we need to do to be so faithful. It runs off trouble. Right? Well, I'm not going to mess with him. Why? Because I already know what he's going to say. Right? He's going to bring up God. He's going to bring up how it ain't right. So I'm not even going to invite him. And you know what I say to that? Thank you. I'll catch you at something that can honor God, maybe. We'll catch up later. You know? So in those times where our enemies are against us, in those times, it's hard to think about having enemies in this day and age. I think you got to be kind of weird to think that you got physical enemies now. But you know, in those times where people who are coming after us or those situations that we're in where we're uncomfortable because of our Christian behavior, you need to remember if your faith is genuine, your faith is strong, eventually those people are going to stop wanting to mess with you. And they'll just go with it. You'll cease being the person who's being told that you're wrong for having Christian values, and you'll become the person that they come to and say, how do you do it? How do you stay so calm? How do you keep the peace? How is it that you can make these decisions so well? How is it that you seem so well adjusted? The Lord. I ain't messing with that. I ain't messing with them. When we show our troubles how big our God is, our troubles won't be so happy to return. So we need to have that faith that runs off the enemy. That faith that leaves us staying resolute. And as we continue on, let's read verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. When I read that verse, and it's not referring to this, but it is kind of referring to the prophets. Well, it is referring to the prophets that went through this, but I think of people that came on later in the church age where they were told, we'll not burn you at the stake if you just recant your belief against, you know, pedobaptism and things like this. If you recant and come back to the Catholic Church, we won't burn you at the stake. Do it. Right? For the prophets, it was this. You stop preaching and we'll let you go. You stop preaching and we'll be fine with you. Go ahead. They don't want that. Why? Because I'd much rather stand before God having maintained my integrity than to stand before this earth without it. Could you imagine how oily and nasty that'd make you feel? Somebody coming up on you. That was good of you to finally get to come to your senses. Good job. No, sir. You take your back patent and your praise and you go ahead and you sit on it. I don't want it. I'd much rather the praise of God in all heaven. And I'd much rather be there tonight than to hear the world say, oh, good, good, you abandoned that doctrine. Good job. No, thank you. No, thank you. See, these people, they had a thing called endurance. They not only had offense, they not only had defense, but they had the other thing that you need for winning, and that is endurance. That is cold, as ice in your blood kind of bravery. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, we'll take away your tax-exempt status. We'll impose fines. Well, we'll put you out on the news. We'll get some folks together out in your parking lot, and they'll holler at you as you come in and out. We'll interrupt your services. We'll do this. What was it that we found out years ago that they were sending the FBI into some churches just to check them out? I hear the tale that they're doing that again today, but for different reasons. What are you preaching? What are you talking about? I'll tell you, we put it on the internet. We don't hide nothing around here. Why? Because we have nothing to hide. We were told to send it out there, and out there is where it is. We get pings at our website from China, from the Philippines, from Africa. We get them from all over the place. You go over to our Facebook, you see even more activity where people have come and picked up on different things that we've put out there. There's people that comment on it. Why? Because people want to hear the word of God. So who are we to hide it under a bushel out of fear of what others might say? What fear should I possibly have against a world that can't do nothing against my God? They had endurance. They suffered great problems. They had tribulation. They had persecution. But you know what they didn't have? Verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What was the promise in this context? I believe the promise to be seeing Jesus Christ. They did not get to see Jesus Christ. But you know who does? We've seen him. He's been here, he's gone. We've received it. We've got it. So I'll tell you what, if these prophets and these stalwart men and women of God can stand up, put their chin in the air and say, come on, why can't we? Why can't we challenge our sin? Why can't we challenge our weak faith? And why can't that faith become so strong it has a positive effect on the world around us? Why not? There's no excuse. There's no reason outside of sheer, bold laziness. See, faith all hinges around what? Am I doing what I believe? Do I trust him so much that I will do whatever he says, no matter what's coming down around me? That's faith. And when we get it right, when we get it strong, it will have an effect on the world around us. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for preserving the book of Hebrews. Thank you for lifting these people up as an example. And Lord, we could sit there, we could pick on every person in chapter 11 and talk about all the wrong things that they did and all their failures. But these folks are no different than us. We've had failures. We've had moments of disobedience. Lord, some behaviors of disobedience have been just as big as those that are mentioned here. But Lord, these people had faith. These people had redemption. These people, Lord, had forgiveness from you and strength from you. These people did your will. And I pray that we, with all of our sin and all of our doubt and our weak faith, we become that strong. And Lord, we be found doing your will when your Son comes to get us. Lord, that is my prayer, that you find faithful, God-loving Baptists here on this earth, serving you with sweat on their brows to the day the Lord comes back for us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.